I thank you, Jesus, for taking all my sins, washing me in your blood. I am free from poverty, sickness, disease, demons, principalities and powers. I have power through Jesus Christ over my flesh, over my mind. I am free. I am free. I have God's grace. I have God's favor. And I thank you, Jesus, that we're in your presence right now to receive from you, from your Holy Spirit, that your glory will fill me and this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. We got two or three people excited. Anyway, praise God. I'm going to have to preach myself happy today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I want to share something before we go into the Word. When we went from 10 to 11, I read this, but I didn't share it. I think there was enough stuff going on, I didn't want to share it. But anyway, 11 signifies disorder, imperfection, incompleteness of earthly governments. Don't mean the church now. Earthly governments. And guess what? You can see it going on, can't you? Now, as we approach the end of 11, and it doesn't mean we're not going to be blessed, the church is nothing. We're talking about governments. When we start approaching the end of 11 and we enter and start to go in towards 12, you're going to see everything turn around. With the governments I'm talking about. You're going to see it all turn around. Hallelujah. So don't be moved by the oil and the gold and everything else. I was praying the other day, and you know we hear an awful lot of things about buying gold and silver. I want to just throw something out there for thought, so you can think on it and that is, if the dollar is not worth much, how come we're selling gold for the dollar? How come we're selling silver for the dollar? Dollar's not worth much. It ain't no good. See? But here we are. Everybody's, all these people on television, they're selling gold, and they're taking paper money for it. Think about it. God told me that, and he says, think about it. It's not wrong to have gold, but everybody's putting the dollar down like it ain't going to be worth nothing. We're going to be using Chinese yen or something. Some person says, God don't care about American money. Yeah, he does. The people selling gold and silver do. They're taking that paper money for it. If gold's worth so much money, how come we're giving them paper money for it? That they said ain't worth nothing. What are they going to do with it all? Think on it. Think on these things and God will bless you. In other words, don't get worried. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody's worried about the oil. Everybody's worried about the gas. Everybody's worried about what they're doing over in Libya and I pray for them people all the time. I say, God, they're ripe for a revival. Amen? Hallelujah. If we go through some testings and trials, in other words, gas goes to $4, we're blessed. You know why? We have to have more faith in God. I've had him fill my tank before. Well, I don't know about that, Ellery. Well, God's a God of signs and wonders. I had a lady come up Friday night, and she was right where Mark is sitting. I'm going to share it because I think, and there was some feathers right where you're sitting, I think three or four of them, and someone picked them up and brought them to me and Betty said, take them home. And see, people don't believe in that. We're not going to make a doctrine out of it, but it's divine protection. One pastor said, all angels' wings don't molt. See, all of this stuff is only good if you believe it. And you can only believe it if you decrease. See, we got too much of ourselves. That's why John the Baptist said, I got to decrease. Jesus has arrived, and I got to decrease. So he's arrived in our lives, and we got to decrease. Amen? So if God's going to do all these wonderful things, the message this morning is about signs and wonders. And if God's going to do all these, we're going to have to learn to decrease, get the flesh out of the way, so we can believe by the Spirit. Amen? Now, I'm going to talk about some things here today about signs and wonders. I'm going to come from a little different angle. And I'm going to show you something in Scripture that it's not a rule of thumb, but as we get there, I'll explain a little deeper. We're going to start in Hebrews 2:4. Hebrews 2:4. We've all been there. We probably know what that means, or that says, I should say. Hallelujah. Two four and four says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Have you ever, well, you have, you've gone on so long and long, and all of a sudden despair means a hopeless state because you've been struggling with the promises of God. And it almost like looks hopeless because you haven't received the manifestation of that promise or promises. Because every promise in Jesus is yes, yes. And so we kind of get this despair, which means we get this hopeless state because we're trying to get the promises of God to operate. It comes from wrestling with God's promises. You and I all wrestle with God's promises, don't we? Think about it. Whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be what am I called to do and so forth. And so we all wrestle, we get in despair and everything else, because we wrestle with God's promises, but we don't get a manifestation. It doesn't mean he don't give manifestations, it doesn't mean he's not doing things, but God is a sovereign God, he can move today, he can move tomorrow in your life. But most of us, the body of Christ, sons and daughters, we wrestle with the promises of God. And I'm going to show you why we wrestle with them. But first we're going to go and look at Jacob, how he wrestled in Genesis 32:24. Hallelujah. The Word's going to minister to you now. There's nothing better than the Word of God. There's nothing better than the Word of God. So there's nothing better than the Word of God. It'll teach me. It'll cause me to grow. It'll change my thinking. It'll change my physical body. So you're looking for change. You're looking for a move of the Holy Spirit in your life. And it only comes through the Word of God as you get more light and revelation. So God's a God of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we got to do some wrestling. So Jacob in Genesis, starting with verse 24, he had sent his family away. And he was by himself. And started with verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Everybody wants to know who this man was. When Hosea 12:4, it says there was an angel. Hosea 12:4 talks about it was an angel that he wrestled with. And yet he called this a man, but God says in Hosea 12:4 that it was an angel. Hosea was talking about Jacob way back in 12:4, so he said it was an angel. And so sometimes if you're going to be blessed and you want a promise, you're going to have to wrestle with the promise. You're going to have to learn to press in and persevere and so on and so forth. So now when he saw, in verse 25, now when he saw he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let go unless you bless me. And so when it comes to the promises, don't let go until you get the promise. That's what God's trying to bring forth here, bring some truth here into our lives. Don't let go. If you have a promise, you have something going on in your body, and you have the promise of the cross, that he took sickness and disease, and you have a promise that by his stripes you are healed, then don't let go until you're healed. See, I pressed in for 7 years and I didn't let go till the manifestation of God's anointing healing power touched my life and I was free from multiple sclerosis. And it took 7 years. This guy here is wrestling. Jacob is wrestling. He said, no, sir, unless you bless me. And I'm going to show you what Jesus talks about, what he means when you... So there's a lot of despair and there's a lot of concern. Is God's power working? Is God's promises working? Sometimes God wants us to press in. You know, when I had... We had two boys and two girls. And in the morning, if you fed them one thing three or four times in a row, they loved it the first time, they loved it the second time, and all of a sudden, I don't want that no more. I want something new. Well, Christians are that way. So God wants to make sure that you really want what you're asking for. Do you really want the anointing? Do you really want to serve God? Do you really want to walk in the power? Or are you going to 6 months from now change your mind and seek something else from God? Something that doesn't cause so many problems in your life. Something you don't have to wrestle so long with. Something that maybe other promises will work. This one don't seem to be working, and I don't want to persevere. I don't want to press in, you see. It comes from wrestling with God's promises. And I'm telling you, saints, it'll cause sadness sometimes. It'll cause you to shake your, it'll shake your faith because it doesn't happen. It doesn't work right away. But God's trying to encourage us today that he's a faithful God, and if you keep pursuing, keep pressing in, that you'll get what your promise that you're going after. And only God determines which way, when he's going to release that in your life. And so God wants to encourage us today. So Jacob said, hey, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. So I've had many, many, many promises. Yesterday I was in my prayer closet, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, my eyes went on the blink. And I had these strange feelings going through my body, and this wasn't the Holy Ghost either. It was controlled by the Holy Spirit. It was called the Word of Knowledge. And I took my glasses off. I was reading. I took them off, man. I couldn't focus. I had pains in my muscles and my legs, and all kinds of things were going on. It just came. And I said, now, Lord, what's this about? Well, the phone rang about 15 minutes into this, and it was Ken. Ken needed prayer, and he's got diabetes. So I was feeling what Ken was feeling. Now, I didn't say to God, I would like to have God told me that Ken's going to call in 15 minutes, but he didn't tell me that. When the phone rang, I looked at the ID, and it was them. And so I prayed for him. The point being is, this is how God wants. He wants to use us without us saying, is that a gift? Is that a promise? Is that power? What is that? No, he just wants you to be obedient to it. You see? So it's time for us to decrease so that God can use us without us questioning things. And so I didn't question it because I've been in ministry a long time. And so when Ken called and I prayed for him, and I'm going to pray again this morning for him because we're going to get the promise. We're going to persevere. We're going to press in until we get the promise. See, I'm that way. I pressed in for 7 years before I got the promise. And I didn't stop until I was blessed with the promise. And I didn't give up on the promise and put that on a shelf and go for another promise. Because this promise here evidently causes a lot of hard work, a lot of confessing the Word of God, a lot of renewing the mind, and so on and so forth. So I'm just going to stick that there and see if I can get another promise to operate. You know what I'm saying? So God wants you to press in until, because if you don't, the devil will get you double-minded. And if this don't, after a while, this don't work, you'll be over here doing this. And this don't work, you'll be over here doing this. And there's a lot of promises in God's Word. So you can bounce around for years just trying to get something to work. And God says, when you have a promise come into your life, into your thinking by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, he wants you to cause it to come to pass. Are you listening? And so that word despair means a hopeless state. And sometimes that's where we wind up, a hopeless state. We don't see nothing going on. You can talk to pastors today, and they all seem to be in a hopeless state. Well, it ain't working now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe heaven's quiet, and I don't know what's going on. It comes from wrestling with God's promises. You'll get to a place where it'll seem hopeless. Now, Jesus is always faithful to the promise. But you may get to a place where it seems hopeless, this don't work, and all of a sudden you'll be starting to say those things, and the devil will start throwing doubts in your mind. And the Holy Ghost wants to know, in you, can he keep you wrestling? Can he get you keep going till you get the blessing of God? Well, it depends. If it's only a week, I can do it, but I'm not going to hang in there for... You got to hang in there, saints, until you get the manifestation of it. And that's what God's trying to wants us to understand today. That Jacob said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. And obviously he did. And so we don't wrestle with an actual angel, but we wrestle with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. The God, Word of God is God breathed. So you are wrestling with the Holy Spirit. Can you get that? That's what you're wrestling with. He wrestled with an angel. You and I are wrestling with the Holy Spirit. He's not only this, not only God breathed. He's the Holy Spirit's the author of this, but the Holy Spirit is in you and I. He's trying to get us to hang in there, you see. So we don't understand that, but we're wrestling with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing. And the flesh is saying, quit, give up. This ain't ever going to happen. And the devil's trying to help you out. He's come to rob, steal, and destroy. He's trying to get you to say, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But God is saying today, if you'll wrestle with the promises and don't get in despair and give up and quit, you will get the promise of God manifested in your life. Marriage, in your marriage, in your business, whatever it may be, you will get it. God says you are sons and daughters. It's up to you to wrestle here, you see. And the flesh is that way. You may get down. You may say, well, I don't ever see you. Well, how come this ain't working? How come she ain't got the wheelchair? How come this? Because you can't quit. You can't give up because God is faithful. Amen? Now listen now, saints. It's very important now that you don't lose what I'm saying. God wants to reveal the knowledge of His glory by the power of the Spirit. God wants to reveal the knowledge of His glory by the power of His Spirit. This is what God wants to reveal now, saints. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 4:6. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God wants to reveal a light in the glory of God, that we are the temple. He wants to reveal that to us. It comes through the knowledge of Jesus. Knowledge and wisdom is found in Jesus in Colossians. And that's what he's trying to reveal to us. And he's fighting our flesh. And we're wrestling with the Holy Spirit. But he wants to reveal that to us. He wants to reveal the glory and the light that's really truly in us, in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom is within us. That's what he's trying to reveal. And the flesh is trying to wrestle and say, well, I've been doing this 10 years. I've been doing this 6 months. I've been doing this 3 months. And it ain't working. And it's going to be a wrestling match with the promises of God so that the Holy Spirit can reveal the light and the glory in you. So we can be transformed and changed. Now listen now, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has, and we are at one time darkness, right? Now we're born again. We've been all shined up in the spirit realm, in our spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. God wants to reveal how important you are, how much power you have in your life, how you are anointed, how if you wrestle with God and you don't give up and you don't quit, you'll get the promises to manifest in your life. I don't care how long it takes. One day is 1,000 years with the Lord. So, And sometimes you'll hear stories. You'll hear stories about Andrew, how he wrestled with all kinds of different things. And he was out here praying, and he was over there praying. And he come under this attack, and he come under that attack. And here we are all these years later. He's now getting the promises to manifest in the college students, in his own life, in his own ministry, and everything else. It didn't start out that way. It was a long time, saints. You can look. You can examine Benny Hinn. You can examine. I've been 34 years. I know a guy that's that operates in signs and wonders. For years, 10, 15, 20 years, he ministered to 38 people. That was it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So what God is saying, it's entirely up to you. You can bring it forth, saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. This is how we feel. Turn to Numbers 11, Tom, please. Numbers 11. This sounds like Christians today. Numbers 11, 10 to 15. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Did you know God could get angry, huh? Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Many of us say, why is this going on? Why am I feeling this? Why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? That's what ministry is, saints. God will start laying the burden of people on you. He may start with one, he may start with five, he may start with 50, he may start with 30. And you're going to have to learn to battle on their behalf so that the ministry of the Holy Spirit can be developed in your life. That's how it's developed. It's on-the-job training. And you take the burden of all kinds of people, different kinds of people. People with money, people with no money, people who are poor, different cultures and so on and so forth. And everybody in this room, including me, has a story. Everybody in here has some kind of a burden. And it gets heavier as we wrestle with the promises and don't see them manifest. Because Moses is saying, not found favor in your sight. We're in the latter part of 11. You have laid the burden of these people on me. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? See, we don't want to take on people's burdens. We don't want to pray for people. If we prayed once for them, don't bother God. Don't get out of here. But the Bible don't say that. He says to keep on coming, keep on asking. But we shove them away. We say, oh, ask once. Don't bother God. I prayed you 10 times. What's the matter with you? And we attack them. There's a lot of hurting people, and God's trying to raise up the anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives that we can do signs and wonders, that He can release the gifts of the Spirit through us. Because that's what frees the people of God. Whether they're saved or unsaved, is the manifestation of the gifts. But you'll never get the manifestation to help people if you're a complainer constantly. You need to be content whatever state you're in. Wherever God's placed you, you need to be content. You're going to get the promise. Did I conceive all these people? I begot them, and that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. You see, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to carry you into the promises of Jesus, into the healing of Jesus, into the love of Jesus, into the knowledge of Jesus, into the wisdom of Jesus, into the supernatural realm, that you can experience it. Experience God, not Ellery, but God. God the Holy Ghost, that Jesus will get the glory. Amen? That's who we are. We are to carry him into the supernatural realm. We are to bring the Holy Ghost anointing. We are to bring a testimony that the promises of God will manifest. It manifested in my life, in my wife's life, in our finances. It will happen. Hallelujah. See, verse 13. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? Sometimes we wrestle with messages. We'd rather just keep them on milk. And God says it's time to feed them meat. It's time for you to grow up, experience me, saith the Lord, that they may experience the Lord, experience me, says the Lord. When am I going to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me. Give us meat that we may eat. You know, people are whiners. If you don't believe it, wait till the church fills up a little more and go around after church and start talking to people. They'll be whining and weeping. You're not supposed to weep along with them. You're not supposed to whine along with them. You're supposed to be able to give them the promises of God. Where God brought you, a testimony should be coming out of you. How powerful God is. You may not have gotten all the promises, but they're coming. But the promises you do have becomes your testimony. Verse 14, I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. See, that's what happens. It becomes a very heavy burden when you wrestle with God's promises. Believe me, saints, it does. It may not be people, and it may be people, but you'll have a heavy burden when you wrestle with God's promises and they don't manifest. What are you going to brag on? What testimony are you going to give? Is it going to be truly about something that's going on in your life? You see, that God, you finally, the burden must be lifted. It will be lifted when you bring the promise forward, when you become obedient. And that becomes a testimony for the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you treat me like this, please kill me here now. I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Let's see. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. Have you ever wanted to die? I mean, be honest with God. Have you ever been such broken and beat up and lack of promises? You just felt like saying, ugh. You know why when people say, gee, I wish Jesus would come back. You know why? We have a heavy burden. The promises ain't working. We just want to get out of this life. We don't want to persevere. We don't want to press in. He goes on after and he tells them to choose 70 men, 70 helpers, and I'll put the same spirit on them that I put on you, Moses. Well, when someone's looking at Moses saying, what do I want that for? I mean, you seem to be all beat up, all these promises, all these people standing at your tent. One wants a divorce, and one wants to go back to the other place where they came from, and some are complaining against you. It'd be nice, God, if you'd make the journey shorter, but he made it longer. Amen, didn't he? So the more you complain, the more your journey is stretched out. You don't receive the promise. When you start dying to self and getting rid of self and make room for Jesus, they'll come a lot quicker, a lot easier. If they're not coming, you're in the way. You're burdened. You're saying, gee, I'm all beat up, Lord, and all these people are spitting on me, and all these people are complaining to me, and some don't even like me, and I don't know why they don't love me. Everybody wants to be loved. Well, guess what? When you take on ministry and people's burdens, they ain't going to love you. All they want you to do is get the promises manifested in their lives. I don't want to hear your tale. I don't want to hear your problem. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Then you need to get the promises manifesting in my life. Well, if I don't get them going in my life, I can't get them going in your life. If I don't experience the supernatural, you'll never experience the supernatural. You can talk to your blue in the face. I heard someone say that this morning. That's a good saying. But blue's a good color, isn't it? Okay, now we're going to go someplace where, hallelujah. In Luke 11, oh, Lukey, praise God, cool. I won't say that, Lord, okay. Starting with verse 5. And I'm going to read the scriptures because it's important. A friend comes at midnight. You can put in here, a born-again Christian comes at midnight. A son or a daughter comes at midnight. Or you can come at 12 noon. It doesn't make no difference. Here it talks about midnight. But I want you to see what Jesus says. So I'll read down through until I get to the place where I want to get. We'll start at verse 5. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight, say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Remember now, he's a friend. Jesus is our friend. We're born again. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall answer from within and say, do not trouble me, great friend. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now listen to what Jesus says now. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, he's not going to do it because you're born again. He's not going to do it because he's your friend. Listen now. Yet because of his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So God is a supernatural God. He's a sovereign God. He can do it tomorrow for you. But the other side of the coin is saying, he may want you to persevere. He may want you to get a heavy burden on you. He may want you to decrease. So just because you're born again doesn't mean he's automatically going to do something for you. God says, I want you to persevere. I want you to press in. Jacob says, I'm going to press in and I'm not going to let go until I'm blessed. Jesus said, I'm not going to rise just because you're my friend. I'm going to rise because of the perseverance. You're going to move the hand of God through perseverance. You're going to move the promises of God into your life through perseverance. You see what he's saying here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's verse 8. Is that verse 8 up there? Huh? I just want to know if you're with me. Is it verse 8? I don't want to be the only one reading this. I've already been spanked by God and taught in hallelujah. Yet because of his persistence, let's see, that's very important, saints. Jacob says, listen, he said to Moses, you ain't got to stand alone no more. I'll get you some help. Do you know how long me and Betty stood alone in this ministry? The immediate family was with us. Lyndon's been here 20 years. But you know how long we stood alone? How long we had the vacuum? We had the clean toilets? We had all kinds of different things? And it wasn't because of people, because of you. It was God teaching me and my wife. Am I willing to persevere? If I surround you with all kinds of help, see, for a long time, Moses had no help. Can you imagine 2 million people going across the desert and they line up at your tent every day? Lord, she didn't comb my hair. Divorce. All the problems lining up. No wonder he said to God, if you're going to treat me this way, kill me. I've had it. And even 70 people for 2 million is not very much. I bet they all finished the journey babbling fools. I'm not going to get up because you're a friend. Now listen now, God's sovereign, he can do that. So I don't want you to think that he'll never, but he can move that quickly for you. Just because you're born again, I know we're taught that the anointing will flow and you, and it can. His both sides, it can. That's not a wrong teaching. It can. These signs will follow those who believe. It can. But he's the one working with us, confirming the word. But there's time, saints, because of your call, because where God sees your heart and where you are, he wants you to persevere. You know why? See, we want to do it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or 6 months, and then we say, I guess God's changed his mind. I really don't care about that no more. Human beings are like this. You can learn it from children. You can learn it up the school up here. You'll find out at the school up here, and I'm not putting them students down, you'll find at the school up here, God changes his mind every 15 minutes in some people. I'm going to be a pastor. God would say to you, Duane, you have an anointed voice. You will get the attention of people when you speak. As long as your confidence is in me and you persevere. You have a voice that I've given you, a voice that draws the attention to people's ears, and they'll listen to what you're saying. You have a special voice. It comes out and speaks in a certain way, and it draws the attention of my people. If you'll believe in the anointing of the Spirit of God within you that's on your voice, you'll cause many to turn from darkness and come to me, saith the Lord, and you'll cause many to receive my promises and receive my anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. You have been called in this area. Open your mouth and have confidence and faith in me and cause the promises to come alive in your life because your voice has already been prepared, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his perseverance. So you want to move the hand of God? Don't stand around there and whine saying, I'm a son or a daughter. You're supposed to be saying that. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to persevere. And when God sees that you're going to count the cost, you see, you're going to count the cost that you'll finish the race, he's not going to give you something just to play around with. And at the same time, God can take somebody who's only saved 6 months and you can lay hands on people and free them. When I went down to Uvalde years and years ago, it was a part of my matured ministry. I thought that was God breaking loose in my life. That's when all kinds of things happened, and the mayor of the city came over, and they went out in the Spirit, and Methodist pastors came over, and they went out in the Spirit, and there was all kinds of different things going on. It's supernatural things. There was people crawling like snakes that God freed, and they were led to Jesus Christ. They were standing around the outside, peeking in the windows. They were out in the porch, and the people out in the porch were getting saved. And I said, whew, we're off and running now. And God says, slow down. That's the matured part of your ministry. Do you want to persevere? How long is it going to take, Lord? Never mind. Will you persevere? Will you press in? And that's, what, 25 years ago at least? And I mean, we saw all kinds of, it was unbelievable. I prayed for one person, and the person fell and hit the cement floor on their face. I said, my God, I expected to pick the person up, see a broken nose, blood running all over the place. Wasn't a mark on him, and he accepted Jesus. I had a lady, it was Crenshaw, what's his name? Ben Crenshaw. His mother came to the service. And I saw her sitting back there, and I saw some light around her. And I went down and got her by the hand, and I said, God wants you up front. Listen now, you ain't going to believe this. She hardly never touched the floor. It's almost like she floated up there. And she went out in the Spirit. It was just, I just saw, and I was so excited. God gave me a taste. He said, now do you want to persevere after this? Because I thought it was the beginning. He told me it was the matured, and I bound Satan. I'm going to have it right now. I ain't waiting around. Well, guess what? There's been spotty patches throughout the weeks and months and years. There's sometimes I have such an anointing on me. I mean, if my wife wasn't with me driving home, I'd be still driving. I go by streets and lights and all kinds of different things. And then every time you get that taste, it drives you to persevere. See, it isn't. See, we want to know, well, what are we going to get from this, God? We got this anointing. No, I'm just blessing you. Do you want some more? Yeah, Lord, yeah. Persevere. Press in. Persevere. It'll be a heavy burden on you at times to try to get my promises to manifest. But persevere. See, I'm looking for people to do signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm wanting to release that, but I got to get you drained out. I got to get yourself out of you. And I got to fill the outside with my Spirit. So when you're wrestling, saints, or you're being disobedient, you're being disobedient to the Holy Spirit. You're wrestling with the Holy Spirit. I ain't called to do that. Well, just exactly what are you called to do? And you'll find out it's something that's very comfortable. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. When, Lord? When he determines that you truly want this. Not because you're born again, you have a temple, and someone's told you you're a believer and you can do all these things. And in some cases, some people can. But God says, this is a lifetime commitment to me. Keep asking, keep not, persevere, press in. If you want the ministry, if you want your calling. And there's different types of the body, and the thumb don't do what the finger does. And the hand don't do what the elbow does. If you get that light in Revelation, you'll respect everybody's ministry, particularly those who talk about Jesus and the cross and so on and so forth. You'll respect them all. You won't try to get them to do what you're doing, you see, because you realize that when Paul was teaching this, he says there's different types of the body. There's different functions. I mean, you got a heart in here that you can't really hear, but it's doing a great thing, isn't it? It's doing a great work. Hallelujah. And so the heart don't do what the foot does. And that's what Paul was trying to spell out. He was trying to say there's going to be many, many, many different manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Respect the body of Christ. Respect sons and daughters. Respect the hand. Respect the finger. Respect the thumb. But if the thumb is trying to be a prophet, you see, a lot of us want, we desire things. But you know why it never manifests? Because God knows in your heart, you will never watch over it, and you'll never fulfill it. Have you counted the cost? What it's going to take? A complete commitment to Jesus Christ. He becomes Lord. He becomes Christ. You become moved by the Holy Spirit. And you'll go through many bumpy roads. And it'll be very heavy at times. And you'll wrestle with many promises of God. But guess what? He is faithful to his promises, and you will get that promise. Don't put a time on it. Don't say, God, I need this in 2 weeks or 2 years. I'm only going to do this. Because if you do it, he knows in your heart that you'll quit. You'll give up. Do you know how long me and my wife, sometimes it's been 50, sometimes 25? I've never been tired, not once in my life, of praying for people. The same one. I've never come against that individual or individuals. You know why? I had to persevere. I got heavy burdened in the promises of God, wrestle with God, the promise of God, trying to get healing from MS in my body. And I didn't do it because God saw my heart. He knew 30 years from now, from that point, that I'd be still with him. I didn't know that. I didn't believe it. You see, how bad do you want something from God? Whether it's peace, whether it's finances, whether it's a good business, whether it's a good ministry, whether it's a good marriage, whatever it may be, how are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to persevere and press in until you get the manifestation of it? And it could be only the time is controlled by God. So he says in verse 9, so I say to you, remember now, the Holy Spirit in you reminds you of the things he said. Right? And he's saying this. This is the teaching of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's reminding us what Jesus said. And he said here, and that's John 14:26. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Doesn't say a week, doesn't say 6 months, it doesn't say 10 years or whatever. He says, this is Jesus speaking. The Holy Spirit saying, I'm reminding you what Jesus said. You will get if you ask, if you knock, if you seek. You'll get it. For everyone who asks, verse 10, receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it'll be opened. You ought to be asking for the Holy Spirit to manifest Jesus in your life, to get rid of all the junk and the desires of the flesh, to help you decrease so Jesus could be more Lord in your life. That you ought to be asking. You ought to be seeking the Holy Spirit for the supernatural to be guided and teach and counseled by the Holy Spirit so that we can quickly get into the footprints of Jesus, get into the promises of Jesus. But you see when it says ask, we ask for things, material things. When we seek, we want to seek a bunch of glory and everything else without even being prepared to handle it. Because we like to have attention. Have I ever told you how spiritual I am? For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it'll be open. Are you asking for the door where he be Lord over your life to be opened? How can I get there, Jesus? Have you asked, Holy Spirit, can you help me get the fruits? The fruits of you, Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, because that's the character of Christ. That's the Spirit of Christ. Have you ever asked, knocked, you know, I'd like to have love in my life. I'd like to have your love in my life. I want to deal with people. I don't want to come against them. I want your love, Jesus. Amen? What are we asking, seeking, and knocking for? Well, Lord, if you just get someone out of the wheelchair, my ministry would take off. Where would it go? That's what we say. It'll take off. Well, where would it go? God will do it when he's ready. God will do it when he sees me persevering. God will do it when my heart becomes his heart, when my mind becomes his mind, when my knowledge becomes his knowledge, when my wisdom becomes his wisdom, and when I have the fruits of the Spirit coming in my life. That does not mean, saints, that nothing will be happening during that walk. You'll get taste, it'll drive you batty. You'll get taste of the supernatural. You'll get taste of the gifts of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, they'll shut down. Not because God's mad, not because you've done something wrong, because God wants to know, do you really want this? If I turn it over to you and let you operate it at any time you want to, whether you're home, in the church, or on the street, can you be a good steward over it? Or do you just want it for a while? To show people, see, I told you I'm powerful. See, and he says, ask. Anytime you ask, you've got to be asking for more of Jesus. Anytime you seek, you've got to be seeking the Spirit of God. Anytime you knock, you want it open that I become less, he becomes more. It's all about Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can help you seek that depth, persevere into that depth where Jesus is pleased and the glory of God rests upon you. And the light of the glory of God shines through you. Because we are all on the outside, we're all darkness until we work out our salvation. God's working in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Then he goes on here and explains here in verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? See, he wants to give it to us, saints. But why do I want the anointing? Why do I want the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to write books and I want to... We come up with all kinds of things. You know, I wonder how God receives all that. Well, he's a God of love, although he's a jealous God, and sometimes he can get angry. I don't want God that mad at me. Right? But what are we asking? Are we persevering? Just because you're a Christian, he ain't going to get up and give you something just because you say it.
How much do you need it? How much do you want it? And what do you want it for? Is it for other people? Or is it for self? I'm anointed. The Bible says we all have an anointing. Anytime we remove our Lord from our life by being selfish, see, God is saying, no, you'll have to persevere. I got to find out. And it varies from person to person. Do you know that? It really does. I never knew. I said, God, I'll go anywhere and do anything. Well, he took me at my word. I'm still here only by the grace of God. I'm still hanging in with him only by the grace of God. Because you know why? I keep asking. I'm saying, God, there's a whole bunch of stuff in me. You need to get it out. Well, when you say that, look out. Because he's going to clean it out. He may bring someone to you. He may cause you to go out in the desert. He may cause a shaking in your life. That everything that falls out is not of God. This is a journey that God's talking about. Just because you're born again and you demand something, demand that, he don't have to get up and give it to you. But when you persevere, you'll move the hand of God. You'll move the promises of God. When you persevere and your connection is to the cross, you persevere and you... me and Betty took Lord's Supper today, and I brought into my remembrance the Lord Jesus and how much he forgave our sins. I was confessing that sickness and disease and poverty has left our life and ain't coming back. And the blood has covered us and we're cleansed. And I brought into my remembrance his death. Why? Because we have to remember his death, we died too. Died to what? Poverty, sickness, disease, and demons, and principalities, and powers, and sin, and all that stuff. So you take the Lord's Supper, you bring into his remember his death. Why? It's important, saints, that we learn to die. That's why we say, Jesus, I'm bringing to my remembrance your death. You see, there's a resurrection, but your death, because I want to know, Holy Spirit, help me that I'm dead to this, dead to this, and dead to this. And that's going to take persevering, isn't it? Because your flesh is going to be kicking and screaming. There's some things that don't want to die to. There's many things that the flesh enjoys. And there's more fun in the supernatural and in Jesus than there is in the world. If you can learn to experience it, enjoy the presence of God, you'll find out the world has nothing to offer you, really. There's no enjoyment in it. It's all in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that's a CD worth getting. Or a DVD. You can go home and look at this pretty man up here again. I know, I'm the only one who thinks that. That's all right. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's anybody here who feels... Put that on, Jeff, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. If there's anybody here who needs prayer... I know Ken does. You can come up here, Ken. Hallelujah. Come up here in Jesus' name. If anybody needs prayer for anything, come up here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just kind of close our eyes for a minute, see if we can't clean everything out of our thinking and just make room for the Lord. presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh. Ooh. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Raise your hands, God. Hallelujah. Oh, I touch you, Lord. Presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, I touch him right now with faith in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, Jesus' stripes, you are healed. I speak to the muscles in his legs, Lord. I speak to the pancreas in the name of Jesus. I command the sugar to stay where it's supposed to in the normal range in Jesus' name. I thank and I praise you, Lord. Every bit of it is going to stop now. We're persevering. We're pressing in the name of Jesus. And we're claiming the promises, Lord. By the stripes, he is healed, Lord Jesus Christ. You took every sin, every sickness, every disease, every bit of poverty on you, Lord Jesus Christ. You suffered for him, Lord. And now he is the Son by the blood of Jesus, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I speak that, Satan, you're not going to come at him no more. You're not going to throw dots in his mind no more. I cover his mind, his head with the helmet of salvation. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for what I'm speaking by faith. Faith in your name, Lord Jesus. We touch our faiths together, Lord, with your faith, Lord Jesus Christ, that diabetes will be no more. Diabetes will be no more. Aches and pains in the muscles will be no more. There will not be a high sugar and a low sugar. There'll be a normal sugar in his body. Because I speak it and call it forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every bit of it now, go in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How you doing, dear?
I also have diabetes.
Do you do?
Yes, I do.
Father God, here's another one with diabetes. Lord, this is your daughter. This is the one you love, and we release our faith and hook it up with your faith, Jesus. Hook it up with the stripes on your back, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. We hook it up with the gift of healing, the anointing flowing through her right now, causing diabetes to stop now, no highs, no lows, to go back and be normal. I cut it at the root right now, and I speak to it and curse it in Jesus' name. And I thank you and I praise you that you're a God of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And right now we press in, Lord Jesus Christ. We press in. We persevere into your promises, Lord. And then we proclaim and speak with our mouths that you are faithful to your promises, Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no longer a heavy burden. There'll need to be no longer a lack of the promises in her life. Because I call them forth now. I call them into her life. The promise of healing. The promise of healing into her life. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Spirit flowing into her that brings glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, all through her pancreas, all through her body, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father God, I speak to arthritis in her body, Lord. I speak to every joint, every wrist, every hip, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're not going to stop praying until we're blessed, and she's blessed. Her body is blessed with your promises. Her body is blessed with the suffering of the cross, the stripes on your back, Lord Jesus Christ, that she need not have them on the outside. Father God, we thank you that every sin has been forgiven, so Satan, you're not going to lie to her that she's in sin. She has lack of faith because she's been forgiven. She's been washed in the blood. She's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I call you forth right now, Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord, our Christ, our King, to release into her, heal her, Jesus, and she'll be healed. Release the gift of healing through the power of your Holy Spirit into her body, into her bones, into her muscles, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every bit of it now, every bit of it, every bit of it, loosed in Jesus' name. Loosed in Jesus' name. Loosed in Jesus' name. Loosed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for a home. We thank you for a place for this woman to stay, Lord. In Jesus' name, she's going to have to make a decision. She has four lovely cats that she loves, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you. You're going to make room for her heart, make room for her cats, make room for her in Jesus' name. You are God who supplies all her need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And by the strength, by the power, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I call a home into her life. I call a place to live into her life. I call a business to explode into her life. I call the finances into her life, and I call it out of the supernatural realm, out of you, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and have it go into her now, be loosed into her now, in Jesus' name. The promises, the promises, the promises, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. What thing is off? You got to be on you.
I've been dealing with some things since for a long time, and I'm tired. Every pastor I went to, they have not, you know, stayed long enough for this thing to come off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm dealing with spirits,
okay,
I can't sleep at night. I'm hearing this, and I had this weird dream that that in the dream I had went for prayer. And this pastor, it came over me and had his head like this towards me. He said, and I said, I want to be healed from this thing. I'm tired of it. And the devil spoke out through him and said, what you want me to stop doing this and all that? And I just get so tired. I'm like, why is it I always have to, you know, why is it so easy for me?
Where do you go to church, brother?
You know, I've been to City Ministries for Christ. I've been to all kinds of churches and nothing, you know.
Well, brother, there's some things. Turn around, look at me here. Face me. Hallelujah. Obviously, there's some spirits tormenting you. You're not possessed.
I'm so tired.
Well, if you're tired, it's because you're going to have to learn to do it in the spirit realm. There's a reason why God's allowing this. If you know in Colossians that Jesus created all the devils and so on and so forth, and for his... So there's a reason why he's trying to get you to grow into some things spiritually. The way God's going to use you, it's in the supernatural realm. And like Daniel prayed and they had to fight the other spirits before they came with the answered prayer and so on and so forth. So in Christ, we win. And you're going to be free, brother. And I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to bind what God is telling me to bind. Then you're going to have to accept it. You say, you can't. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by, I'm too tired. Go by the resurrection power of Jesus. Go by his cross. Amen? Hallelujah.
Even the pastors that I went to, they made fun of me. They went back in the behind.
Well,
the
because they're...
I felt so embarrassed. I'm scared to come to people to have prayer about this. I feel so...
Listen to me, brother. You can come here every Friday and every Sunday to get prayer. Ain't anybody going to laugh at you here? I'm not going to go back and laugh at you, talk about you and everything else. If you want to be free, what did Jesus see? Keep on... persevering, pressing in, asking, knocking, and seeking. You see, that's what he said. That's the teachings of Jesus. We can't come against that. And so it took me 7 years. I was tired, too, to walk out of it. He'll give you strength There's a reason why this is going on, brother. And it's not because you're going to sit in the pew and look around and get someone to pray for you. You're going to do a mighty work for God. And that's the reason why he's allowing this. He wants to know if you'll hang in there, if you'll persevere. That's what he wants to know. He wants to know, will you stay there? Will you hang in there? You see, I had to and still am. And you're going to raise your hands. Hallelujah. No more talking in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name, and I touch him, Lord. I touch him in the name of Jesus. Satan, I speak to you right now. I bind you in the name of Jesus, you principalities and powers, appallin, you spirit of destruction. I bind you right now in Jesus' name, you seducing, lying spirit. You're going to leave this man. This is a man of God. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This man is blood bought, and you will not tempt him no more. You'll not throw darts in his mind, because I hold up the shield of faith. I hold up Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I hold up the cross, that he is dead. He is dead. He has died to sickness, disease, and demons, and principalities and powers. You won't touch him. Just like you fought me, you can't touch me no more, because I stand in the authority of the name of Jesus, and I command this right now in the name of Jesus to stop now. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that every demon, every spirit is controlled by my words in the name of Jesus. And I say, you will not touch this man's mind no more. You will not touch his side no more. You will not torment him no more, because I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord Jesus, that appalling, that spirit of destruction, you're bound now in Jesus' name. So every bit of these spirits now in Jesus' name, the whole spirit world, Jesus is Lord over you, and you will not come out of that spirit world. Only the Spirit of God will rise up in him, and he'll cause a standard to rise in him, and he'll bring forth the name of Jesus. He'll bring forth the anointing and the power that breaks the yoke of bondage. His mouth will confess victory. His mouth will have a testimony for the glory of God. And it's in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I encourage my brother right now, Lord, with the word of God, Lord. Keep pressing in. Keep asking. Don't say I'm doing that. Don't say I'm doing that. God says keep on doing it. We all know you're doing it, but God says keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep persevering. Because God says, my son, the promises are hanging just over you. I can see a line, a clothesline with pins on it. And I can see things, supernatural things hanging from the clothesline. And God says, my son, you have the power to pinch them and loose them and open them and allow my promises to fall upon your life. That's my word for you today, to persevere and press in. Because God says the world may be against you, but you are in the kingdom, and I, the Lord, is greater than anything in this world. I am Lord over the universe, and you are my son, and you are blood bought, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I say to you, keep persevering, because there's going to come a time, shortly, that the clothespins will be pinched, and the presence of God, the promises of God, will fall upon you and protect you, and return the blessings of me unto you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God says, my daughter, there is certainly a cloud over you, and it's not a cloud of demons, but it's a cloud of my presence. God says, my daughter, it's going to come upon you, and it's going to influence you. You're going to be influenced by my spirit. I can see a lightning exploding in your belly, an actual lightning like you see in the sky. I can see a lightning exploding to you. Go nowhere, run not to and fro, but stand still and let my spirit have its way. Because these manifestations, the cloud and the lightning rod in your belly, is for my glory. And there's a reason behind it. The wisdom that flows behind these two things, the cloud and the lightning, it will be manifested in your life as you wait upon me. God says there is going to be a hurry up call, and you're always looking for the right size shoe to fit in my footprint. God says Your foot is the right size. You can walk in my footprints right now. Not 2 weeks from now, not 6 months from now, but right now. The shoe size is perfect, saith the Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in her and upon her in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I touch my my brother right now, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is strange. I can see a snake with legs that's been nipping at your heels. It's got a big mouth. It's got a big mouth. It's got these little legs, and it's been nipping at your heels. And God says, today, my son, those things that sometimes rise up, right now that snake is being burnt up. The fire of God is touching that, and it's screaming. Right now it's screaming. It's burning from its tail up to his head. And there's smoke and fire coming all out of him. And now there's just a little heap of ashes. And nothing will ever come out of these ashes that will disturb again. You'll have the truth and the light, and you'll have the revelation. And God says he won't disturb the wisdom that I'm going to give you. And it causes it to expand in your life. And to expand not only your desires in college, but to expand your spiritual life. To expand your spiritual life. Because you're going to have authority over the college life by the spiritual life, saith the Lord. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I can see this pink cloud. It's a pink you'll never find on this earth. Hallelujah. I'm moving, it looks like it's coming right through you. There's a sweeping, there's a cleaning, there's a latter rain, there's the blessings of the rain coming upon you. Oh, it's just moving right through you and going out the other side. But what has left is all little sparkly things that it has left. It has left different things of Father God through Jesus Christ in you, and the Holy Spirit is causing them they sparkle, they glow like. And God says, each one you haven't experienced before, but you're going to start experiencing them as the Holy Spirit releases what has been left by the cloud in your body in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, do. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, this is such a great, great sensation with God the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And oh, yes, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. How you feeling now, brother? Way better. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Devil. I started doing that, my plastic leg started to walk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I can see heavenly in the realm of the Spirit now. It's just such a blessing. What am I seeing? It looks like olive oil just kind of floating down. It looks like oil is floating down. It's floating all through here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says you're all getting a fresh anointing. You're all being revived. You're all being refreshed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We know it's all about you, Jesus. We draw attention to you, Jesus. We just thank you so much. You manifest your spirit here every time we meet here, Lord. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will be in a stronger and more mighty way, Lord, in these people's lives, Lord, that they will start casting out demons and laying hands, that they will persevere, that they will persevere. They'll keep on asking, keep on knocking. God is saying to you today that many are called. Many are called in this place. And God says, don't turn away. Don't get discouraged. Don't get be weakened by the heavy burdens of dealing with my promises. Because I am faithful to my promises and I shall release them into your life. The date will not be decided by you. The week will not be decided by you. The year will not be decided by you. But it'll be decided by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take from the heavenly realm where I am, saith the Lord. He'll take from Jesus. That's the Lord speaking. And he will release it as the Lord says. It's time. It's time. And you're going to get a whole flushing out of the Holy Ghost. A whole decrease of your flesh at that moment. And the Spirit of God is going to not only rise up in your spirit, but he's going to rise up in your flesh. And he's going to bring with it a power as he did with the apostles, as he did with the apostles. And Jesus said, you will carry on my ministry. So learn of me, learn of my mind, learn from my spirit, because the days are not that far off that I shall release a spiritual awakening in your life. And you shall see things that you've never seen before. You shall hear things that you've never heard before. They shall arise for my glory. And you will be frightened at first. The fear of God, which is the wisdom of God, will come upon you, but not the natural fear. But God says this wisdom will cause you to see things you've never seen. God says to dream things you've never dreamed, to have visions that you've never had. These things are available to you, for I am that God of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I desire to release. So persevere and press in and press in and press in. Your day is coming, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, most of all, how much you love us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for your death and your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that we also have died to sickness and disease and demons and principalities and powers, and we shall walk in the freedom. We just thank you for your cross, Jesus. We thank you because we are now into the resurrection, Lord Jesus, walking in the resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to, the anointing of the Spirit of God is upon us. He's anointed us to preach the gospel, open the blind eyes, and set the oppressed and the captives free, Lord, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We just thank you for that anointing, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that our time is coming. Our time from the realm of your spirit within us is coming, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.